there, and good morning. This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, October 11th of 2023. I'm your host, Jackie Sedley. Coming up on today's program, a look at some highly acclaimed athletes, sheepdogs. After that, Chris Moore shares his weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You. And we'll wrap up with herbalist Brigitte Mars and her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update and commentary from Jim Hightower at the bottom of the hour. Coming up on today's public affair, it's Ask an Herbalist with Brigitte Mars. At 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still coming up, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Yvonne Olivas.
The fate of two police officers charged in the death of Elijah McClain is now in the hands of jurors. A verdict in the trial of suspended Aurora police officer Randy Rodema and former officer Jason Rosenblatt could come this week. Both are charged with reckless manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, and assault in the 2019 death of McClain. McClain was stopped as he walked home in August of that year after someone made a 911 call about a sketchy person in the area. A third officer was also involved. He is being tried separately, and jury selection in his case begins this Friday. Two paramedics are also charged in the case and will be tried next month. They were called to the scene in 2019 after McClain lost consciousness, allegedly because of chokeholds used by police. The paramedics injected him with the sedative ketamine, which prosecutors say contributed to his death. Colorado Representative Tim Hernandez is drawing severe criticism for participating in a Palestinian solidarity rally on Saturday, just hours after the militant group Hamas launched a surprise attack on Israel. That attack has killed more than 1,000 people. Representative Hernandez was seen waving a Palestinian flag at the Capitol in Denver, along with about three dozen others. According to media reports, the rally was organized by the Colorado Palestinian Coalition. Lawmakers on both sides have commented on Representative Hernandez's participation in the rally. Representative Lisa Frizzle, a Castle Rock Republican, told the Denver Gazette that Hernandez has, quote, voiced his approval of the slaughter of innocent people. But Aurora Democrat Representative Iman Jode said that as far as she knew, quote, no one held that rally for Hamas. People were rallying for Palestinian human rights. There is no rule that legislators cannot take part in rallies like the one on Saturday, but some lawmakers said the participation by Hernandez doesn't show respect. Many legislators are calling on House Democrats to censure him. Meanwhile, in Washington, Republican and Democratic members of Colorado's congressional delegation have condemned the Hamas attack and expressed solidarity with Israel. Statewide Enforcement Day is this Friday. Colorado State Patrol has partnered with local police departments across Colorado to heighten their visibility of reckless driving. According to the State Patrol, 2022 held the highest number of fatal car accidents in Colorado in over 40 years. Statewide Enforcement Day is an attempt to decrease those numbers. The last statewide enforcement day on August 4th resulted in 110 distracted driving citations and 11 DUIs. State election officials say a proposition to cap property taxes has received enough signatures to qualify for the November 2024 ballot. If passed, Initiative 50 will alter the Colorado Constitution to halt property tax increases over 4%. According to Colorado Public Radio, there has been an average increase of about 6.5% in property tax revenue every year since the year 2000. Critics of the initiative say that a cap on tax increase would cause local governments to lose funds for school services and basic municipal needs. They also argue that because property taxes vary from county to county, it would be difficult for local governments to translate the statewide initiative for their unique circumstances. Advance Colorado, a conservative political group, compiled over 227,000 signatures to put Initiative 50 on the ballot. It isn't the only property tax bill that will appear in November. Proposition HH is another bill that places a cap on tax increase based on inflation rates. A report by the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas ranked Colorado as the fourth state in the U.S. for out-migration. In 2021, about 42 out of 1,000 native Coloradans left the state. Wyoming leads with the most out-migration in the U.S. Alaska comes second and Hawaii third. Texan natives were the least likely to leave their state, with 82% choosing to stay. North Carolina, Georgia, California, and Utah were not far from Texas's percentage, with their natives also choosing to stick around. Potential reasons for the high out-migration numbers in Colorado are high inflation rates and unemployment, according to Axios Denver. Winter is around the corner and snow is coming to Colorado, maybe a little sooner than expected. Meteorologists across the state predict the first snowfall of the season is tonight, along elevated areas in the Rocky Mountains, particularly areas at or above 9,000 feet in elevation. Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins will be snow-free. For weather today in Boulder and Denver, we can expect a high of 77 and a low of 45 with a slight chance of rain. And in Fort Collins, we can expect a high of 72 and a low of 44 with light winds and a slight chance of rain. For KGNU, I'm Yvonne Olivas.
You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Jackie Sedley. So earlier this month, Carbondale in Colorado played host to the 2023 National Sheepdog Final at the Strang Ranch in Missouri Heights. The event featured the best herding dogs, all border collies from around North America, working with their handlers to herd stubborn Colorado sheep. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Aspen Public Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
On a crisp fall morning at the Strang Ranch in Carbondale, some of the finest athletes in North America are competing to show they have what it takes to overcome the toughest challenges their sport has to offer. The challenge? Ornery range sheep from Colorado's high country and miles of field to run them on. The athletes, as you might have guessed, aren't people. They're border collies, bred for generations to herd livestock, mostly sheep and cattle. Their handlers use a series of whistled and verbal commands to tell the dogs where to go and what to do.
Wee! Lie down. Wee! Wee!
But a lot of the sport starts with instinct, and the border collies' innate desire to work the sheep is on full display here.
They know what to do. It's just building the communication system between the two of you and developing them and correcting the bad little bits, trimming them off and saying, no, no, doggy, don't do that. But yeah, just go ahead and do what you naturally want to do and we'll put the commands on it.
That's Ellen Skillings from California. She's been in this sport, also called dog trialing, and working with animals for nearly 40 years. Skillings says the dogs competing at Strang Ranch this weekend are the best of the best and represent a bond between the handler and the dog that can only be built with dedication and hard work.
And this is a big course with pretty tough sheep, and so the dogs really has to have a lot of stamina to get through it. It requires quite a lot of dog.
The course and tasks are meant to be transferable to actual farm and ranch work with livestock. For example, a good stock dog will need to be able to herd sheep over long distances, especially in the West, where ranges stretch miles and predators, such as wolves and coyotes, are abundant. Or if someone comes by the ranch to purchase a sheep, or a sheep is sick and needs doctoring, a dog needs to be able to help its handler separate it off from the rest of the herd. And, of course, a dog needs to be able to help get the sheep into a pen. These abilities are all tested throughout the trial course here at the Strang Ranch. Among the competitors here is Bridget Strang, whose family owns and runs the ranch, and her dog, Bill. The pair have competed in trials all over the country, but Bill's main job is helping out on the ranch.
That's kind of how I train them. I teach them a few tools, and then I go out and I do a job. And through that series of chores and tasks is kind of how I train my dog. I think other people probably have more method.
You might think that Bill would have a home field advantage, but he's only 3 years old and hasn't worked with these specific sheep before. For Strang, hosting the national finals is a special experience.
You know, I've lived for the dog trialing. I would still have dogs and sheep and do the work if I didn't dog trial. But with every job I do, I sort of have my eye on the ball for how that might help me in the trial field.
In the semifinals, Strang and Bill were able to corral all of their sheep into the pen, but had some missteps.
I think I mishandled it. I misread that panel, so I missed that panel. And then I made a mistake in the shedding ring.
In the end, their score didn't qualify the duo for the finals on Sunday, though Strang felt satisfied with the results.
He's good. He's young. He's got a future in front of him. It's his first national finals. First year in open.
The weekend's winners were Scott Glenn and 4-year-old Pip from Alberta, Canada. The pair's final score was far and away the best of the competition.
Come by.
Even for a seasoned winner like Glenn, it's still breathtaking to watch the dogs work.
It always stuck with me how neat it was the dog knew left and right. That always impressed me because we had cattle dogs, but I mean, it was sick 'em or come back, hopefully. But just the great distance of them going, I think, is awesome.
Glenn brought home tens of thousands of dollars from the prize purse, but the reward for Pip, Bill, and all the other dogs who had been sprinting for miles was to cool down by taking a plunge in big buckets of water. That's it for the national finals for this year, but a lot of these handlers and dogs will be back in Colorado next September for the Meeker Classic, a trial that will qualify dogs and handlers for the 2024 final. There will also be plenty of newcomers, like Ellen Skilling's pup Freyer, who's not yet 1 year old. And for all of Skilling's experience, she can't say what next season will bring.
It's never the same. You're never done training and thinking about it. The more you do, the more questions you ask. You can never 100% predict what's going to happen. Every time you go out there, it's new.
For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Caroline Yanez. This story was produced with assistance from the Public Media Journalists Association Editor Corps. It's supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's a private corporation funded by the American people. It was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public and community radio stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, Montana, and New Mexico, including KGNU. We now go to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas on how you can have your voice heard before Congress. 10 years ago, the Supreme Court drastically cut back the guarantees of the Voting Rights Act. Inevitably, discriminatory state laws targeting voters and restricting voting access were enacted in dozens of red states. By restoring the VRA's authority, the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act would prevent such laws from taking effect in states and localities with a recent history of voter discrimination. For over half a century, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 prevented states and localities with a history of voter discrimination from restricting voting access by requiring such jurisdictions to pre-clear new election laws with the Department of Justice or a U.S. District Court. However, in its disastrous 2013 decision in Shelby County v. Holder, the Supreme Court struck down vital provisions of the law and struck down the formula used to determine which jurisdictions are subject to federal oversight. In July 2021, the court further weakened the law in its decision in Brnovich v. DNC, making it more difficult to challenge discriminatory voting laws. In the decades since the Supreme Court's decision, state legislatures have advanced hundreds of new restrictive voting laws targeting minorities, young adults, and the elderly. These laws have closed polling stations, curbed early voting and voting by mail, imposed strict identification requirements, limited multilingual voting materials, and made it harder to register to vote. So far in 2023, state legislatures have already passed a near-record number of new restrictive voting laws. H.R. 14, the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, has now been resurrected. A previous version of the bill passed the House in 2021 with bipartisan support, restoring key provisions of the Voting Rights Act. It got filibustered to death in the Senate. Nearly 70% of Americans support this bill across all demographic and political beliefs. It is time for the Senate to reintroduce and pass companion legislation to H.R. 14. This legislation would help restore the right to vote for all qualified people. Last September 19th, Congressman Brad Sherman joined every House Democrat in introducing H.R. 14, the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. The bill would protect the right to vote and restore and modernize the full protections of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Quote, "The great John Lewis called the right to vote precious, almost sacred," said Congressman Sherman. "Today I was proud to join my House Democrat colleagues to introduce the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act to protect the right to vote against extremists working to silence our voices," close quote. If you have thoughts on H.R. 14, the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, you can contact your representative and discuss with your senators the possibility of bringing it to the Senate floor as well. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
That was Make Them Hear You with Chris Moore. Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to talk about hair care. According to the principles of Asian medicine, the health of our hair has a lot to do with the health of our kidneys. And of course, many medications, drugs, stress, too much coffee can impair our hair. Now, of course, some people are going to lose their hair. It's a genetic proclivity. And I hear it has a lot to do with your maternal grandfather genetics. I don't know if that's totally true, but something to consider. And of course, bald can be beautiful too, but I love that hair can be an expression of our individuality. And you can color it, curl it, make it straight, whatever. But a lot of times we're doing damaging things to our hair. And one is like, do you really need a blow dryer? You know, until a few years ago, blow dryers actually had asbestos in them. So if you want to nourish your hair from the inside out, some wonderful herbs to be drinking are rosemary tea, nettle tea, horsetail. All of those minerals are really good for the hair. And it is normal to lose 75 to 100 hairs a day. And very often when we go through hormonal changes, there might be a lot of hair loss. Doing a headstand or a shoulder stand or even laying down on a slant board where you put your feet up and your head down allows more circulation to your scalp. We can also, just when we're, you know, hanging out, watching a movie with our friends or something, do circular scalp massage in a gentle way. And there are some wonderful products that help to break up sebum, which can clog the pores and contribute to hair loss. And you might look for products that have biotin in them, pantothenic acid. Both are part of the B vitamin family. There's also an herb called Hoshu Wu, a Chinese herb that means Mr. Wu's hair stays black. Eating seaweed is great for our hair. It even kind of looks like hair. Yeah, we should all be eating seaweed. And black foods nourish the kidneys, which will nourish the hair. So like chia seeds, black rice, black beans, black sesame seeds, black olives. Yes, black foods are going to give you those trace minerals. So, you know, my grandmother always used to trim my hair when the moon was increasing, when it's going from a new moon to a full moon. It's waxing. And she would do it in a water sign so it would grow more quickly. Yes, my grandmother was a bit of a mystic, you know. What else can we do for hair? Circular scalp massage. The herb rosemary is considered a cephalic. It's good for all kind of conditions of the head. And not only is using rosemary as an herb and using it as a tea beneficial, but a product with rosemary in it, such as a rosemary shampoo or conditioner, might be great. So be careful of all those chemicals. I think hairdressers often have a real high chemical overload using sprays and straighteners and perfumes. Find ways to love your hair. Be creative. Do what you need. You know, one way that I'm playing with the graying is I have tinsels in my hair. Kind of makes people think they're having a flashback. So thank you for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
We will have Brigitte from Naturally in the studio at 8:35 to take your calls about all things herbalism. So get your questions ready. That is all for today's Morning Magazine. Thank you to Alexis Kenyon, Juanita Hurtado, Yvonne Olivas, Brigitte Mars, and Chris Moore for their work on today's program. Stay tuned for the latest commentary from Jim Hightower, and then a public affair where we will be taking your calls related to all things herbalism. First, with me in the studio right now, in honor of our fun drive, I have Sam Fuqua. Hi, Sam.
Great to be back with you, Jackie. Thank you for the morning. Great to be back with you, Jackie. Thank you for the Morning Magazine this morning. And, you know, I appreciate there's a lot of difficult news in the world, but so sometimes it's great to hear something that just makes me smile. And that story about the sheepdog trials did that. So thanks for that.
Absolutely.
Folks, it is the 2023 Fall Membership Drive here at listener-supported KGNU. A call to 303-449-4885, 449-4885, or online at kgnu.org. That connection really affirms local news and information, independent voices, support for the future generations of independent journalism. And I'm looking at one of them right now, Jackie Sedley, who is here with us courtesy of a program called Report for America. What is that, Jackie?
Yeah, so Report for America is a national service program that places journalists like me into local newsrooms like KGNU to report on undercovered issues in that area. So it's kind of like Teach for America, if you've heard of that before, but specifically focused on journalism initiatives and uplifting underrepresented voices. So I'm here at KGNU to serve the needs of folks in our community through reporting on issues happening in listeners' neighborhoods. I'm technically a designated climate and environment reporter, but that category stretches to lived environments as well. So I'm really all over the place, but in a good and organized way. And actually, KGNU was the only Colorado newsroom to get a Report for America Corps member like me this year. And that's largely due to our incredible staff and volunteers here and the presence and relationships they've built in Boulder County and beyond into other parts of Colorado. And that's one of my favorite parts about KGNU and community radio in general, is that everyone here is so intentional about fostering relationships with listeners. It's such a special community to be a part of, but this radio collective really wouldn't be standing without the support of you listeners out there. I wouldn't be here without your support. I'd still be living in California, probably without a job. So please make a contribution this morning to this 45-year-old radio station. I wasn't even a thought when this station was born. The history is so strong. Call 303-449-4885 or head to kgnu.org and show your support through a monetary contribution. Every dollar counts, right, Sam?
It really does. We stretch them as far as we can here at the little station that could, and we've been doing that for 45 years. What a success story. Independent media thrives in one place on the radio dial. That's KGNU, 303-449-4885. Support local news and information. Support the next generation of independent journalism as represented here by Jackie and the Report for America Fellowship. I know it's not an easy time to exist on fellowship level funds, But we're glad you've chosen to do that, made that sacrifice. And we're grateful to the listener members of KGNU because they're helping out through supporting the station. This enables us to get good reporters on the ground here to bring you important local stories, news and information, cultural programming, and of course, the world of music, the beautiful world of music that we bring you every single day on KGNU. It's all made possible by the listener members. Thank you if you've already done it. I know a lot of people have, Jackie. They've done their part during the fall membership drive. Some folks, I'm sure, have done that in the spring and summer as well. We're super grateful to you. But there are people out there who haven't got around to it yet. So don't procrastinate further. Take just 2 minutes out of your Wednesday morning and join us. Be part of this family. 303-449-4885.
That is right. You may even get to talk to one of our wonderful staff members or volunteers if you call in this morning. And I can't stress enough just how grateful I am for this station. Like Sam said, the little station that could. I have felt very, very accepted into this community from the start of getting here. And my goal is really to continue to make sure that members of this community continue to feel their voices heard on air as well. And all of you listening out there, I very, very much appreciate you tuning in to the Morning Magazine and news. Your listens really, really, really help, and so do your contributions. So one more time, that phone number is 303-449-4885. You can also head to kgnu.org and show your support through a monetary contribution. If you stay tuned, we have Brigitte Mars in the studio to talk about all things herbalism. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes.